time to mention them this morning, so keep all these announcements in mind. John chapter 20, and look at verse number 19. And this is after the Lord rose from the dead, and we're going to look here at John chapter 20 and verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Now, over in the next chapter, in chapter 21, Simon Peter said in verse 3, he's going fishing. He just about gave up. They fished all night, didn't catch anything. But then it said, verse 4, when morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then the Bible said in verse 9, as soon then as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus saith unto him, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And then verse 12, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. So we have two instances here where they wasn't expecting the Lord. You're going to have to turn me up. They wasn't expecting the Lord, and the Lord showed up. He was here in the upper room. They were all gathered together in there, and they were scared for their life. They didn't know what they was going to do. And all of a sudden, Jesus was there in the midst. Here, when they were out on the boat, fished all night long, didn't catch nothing. They'd worked theirself nearly to death. And then they looked, and there stood Jesus on the shore. And he'd fixed them a little fish fry and some bread on hot coal. He just showed up. Last night I was driving home from the airport in Greensboro, and I was coming up the interstate, and I was wanting to try and get home. It's about 127-128 miles from the airport to here. And I got on the interstate and I looked, and lo and behold, there was our bus come up on it. And it was the kids coming back from the state tournaments yesterday. And I said, well, I'll be. I thought it looked like our bus. And it's about 8:30 last night, I guess. And I come up on them and passed them and pulled them over. And we talked there for a minute. And it was just a good surprise to see them. And have you ever heard the words, look who's here? You ever use that terminology? Usually when you say that means I never expected to see you. Or it means, I can't believe that you're here. I can't believe it's you. Have you ever unexpectedly run into somebody, maybe in the mall or, well, Charlotte or somewhere? Well, I'll be. I want you to look who's here. I never expected them. Well, that's why I want to preach to you on this morning. Look who's here. Now, I want to say a few things about this, the way the Lord just has a way of showing up right when you need him the most, and right when it's unexpected. Now, I want to say first of all this morning, I want to say the first thing, when we have sinned, look who's in our garden. You know, you go way back there to the Garden of Eden, and the Bible said that Adam and Eve had sinned against God. God told them, he said, you cannot take of this tree. The devil come along and tempted the woman. She took of the tree, gave to her husband, and he did eat. Immediately when that happened, they became ashamed. They became embarrassed. They thought, oh God, we'll never have nothing else to do with us again. It's over for us. God just will never speak to us again. God will never bless us again. God will never have anything to do with us again. They failed in their disobedience to God. Much like me and you, many times in our Christian life, we fail God. We fail and we think, oh no, God don't love me no more. Oh no, God won't have anything to do with me no more. But you know what? They heard footsteps in the garden that one day. And the Bible said Adam and Eve were hid back here like this because they're so ashamed of what they had done. And then they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the cool of the day. Well, look who's here. And he shows up right on time. We noticed the footsteps. God was walking towards them. God was walking towards them. Ain't you glad this morning that when you're down, when you've sinned, when you made a mess of your life, that instead of going way away from you and leaving you alone, that he shows up right in your bedroom at night, or he shows up in a church service and says, "Hey, I'm right here to forgive you and to help you." Thank God, when we sin, he shows up in our garden. Notice his forgiveness. You know what God did? Now, God punished Adam and Eve, but I'll tell you what else he did. He killed an animal. He took the coats of skins, and he clothed them, and he forgave them, and he fixed them. Thank God, when you're down this morning, he'll show up in your garden. I'm talking to somebody this morning. Maybe the devil just run you through the ringer this week. Maybe you just feel like you're the sorriest Christian ever was. Maybe you just feel like, "Brother Danny, every time I try, I fall right down in the same ditch again." I got news for you this morning. If you're down and out and you've sinned, look who's here. He's able to forgive you right here this morning. Amen. Let me say secondly, this morning, when we're suffering, look who's in our furnace. When we've sinned, look who's in our garden. When we're suffering, ladies and gentlemen, look who's in our furnace. The classic illustration of suffering, you know, is all the way through the Bible, is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's the plainest example that I can give you. But it's all God's people suffer at one time or another. Brother Jerry laid on his back for days and weeks and weeks and weeks suffering with that cancer. We saw his body just go down, down. Had an oxygen mask on his face. And I want to tell you something, folks, that boy suffered. Brother Jerry, you sit right back there. Every service he could make it here. He loved preaching. He loved singing. He loved the youth choir, the Parker family, and the Scott family, and all our singers. Jerry loved it. But he began to suffer. And he began to suffer so much sometimes he couldn't even listen to the tapes. He couldn't even watch his videos on the TV or the youth rallies and things like that. But I want to tell you what. Look who showed up at his furnace. Look who was with him in there. The story here is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the Bible said there's them boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Bible said they would not bow to the king's command. And they wouldn't do what the king said. And the king said, "All right, boys, you know what that means, don't you? We've got the furnace right over here, and we're going to heat it 7 times hotter to make an example out of you and show the rest of the world that you cannot disobey me and get away with it." And they said, he said, "And then what good is that God going to do you?" I want to tell you what attitude they took. It ought to be our attitude this morning. Amen. They have the right attitude. Them boys looked at it right. They said, "Hey, King," they said, "we want to tell you something right now. We ain't going to bow down to your God. Our God is able to deliver us from that fire. But I want to tell you something right now. Even if he chooses not to and he don't deliver us, we're still not going to bow down to your God." Now, when we get that attitude, we're ready to do something for God. You know what most Christians do? They say, "Well, God didn't deliver me, so I'm not going to live for him no more. God didn't do what I wanted him to, so I'm mad at him. I quit." No, their attitude was, "God's able to deliver me. He can do it, but if he don't do it, we're going to live for him anyway, and we still ain't going to bow down to your image." That ought to be our attitude this morning. I want to say, by the grace of God, we're not much, but we will not give in to the devil's life and the crowd out there in the world, even if God does let him have us. And boy, I'll tell you one thing, the king said, "Well, you ain't going to do that." He heat up, boys. Son, they turned the thermostat up. I mean, it's hotter than it was in here a while ago. It killed them fellas that threw them in. And they took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and bound their hands like this and tied them up with ropes and threw them in the fire. It was so hot that it killed the men that threw them in. And buddy, that's a type of our suffering. That's a type of suffering with cancer. That's a type of suffering physically or mentally even. Some of you are going through a marriage separation, divorce, stuff like that. That's suffering, man. You're in the furnace. But all of a sudden they look. And Shadrach said, hey, this feels pretty good. And Meshach said, look here, it burned them ropes off my hand. And they looked around and said, look who's here. And there was a fourth man showed up in the fire. Hey, when we're suffering in the furnace, look who's here. He's with us there. I want to tell you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ can be just as real to you while you're in that suffering furnace than he ever has been in your life. It may not feel like it, but sometimes God's closer to you and right beside you when you're going through your trials than he is any other time of your life. When we're suffering, look who's in our furnace. I remember reading about Charles Wagle. He was that great preacher, and he tried to serve God for many years. And like many preachers today, the devil attacked his home life, and his wife come in, and she said, I'm leaving you. She said, I ain't living with you no more. I won't be a preacher's wife. I've had it. I'm sick of it. And the devil knows that's the best way to get to the man. Is to his wife, through that weaker vessel. And he attacked that preacher. Charles Wagle sat down and said, now what am I going to do? I've lost everything. I've lost my ministry. I've lost everything. But all of a sudden, somebody was with him in his furnace and slipped up beside him and sat down. And he went to the piano and sat down and picked out a little tune. And the tune was, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. Hey, when we're suffering this morning, look who's with us. He always shows up. About the time you think you don't have a friend in the world, you'll feel him slip up and sit down beside you and put his arm around you and say, hey, I'm still here. I still love you. If family and friends forsake you, glory to God. He's with us in our furnace this morning. Sometimes people don't understand you. Sometimes people judge you. Sometimes people cast out your name as dirt. Sometimes people just treat you cruel. But thank God, He'll be with you in your suffering. I want to say thirdly this morning, when we're in our sorrow, look who's at our graveside. You know the Lord's one that can be with you at that graveside. When you take mom or dad, my wife or husband or son or daughter out there and lay their body to rest. They'll be going down there, I think down to Morgan and Barry, Brother Jerry this evening. They'll be taking him out there. And I'm telling you, man, when you look at that grave, we see the Lord there in the Bible, in the book of John, when the Bible said that Lazarus had died. And Jesus tarried 2 days when he got there to the graveside. And boy, you know what? His sisters and everybody was tore up, and they looked around and said, look who's here. And there was Jesus. The Bible said that he wept, knowing that he was with them. You don't have to go to that graveyard and lay that loved one to rest by yourself, friend. He'll be with you right there in your sorrow. And I'll tell you, thank God he raised him from the dead. I remember reading about John Bunyan. And John Bunyan was suffering. And John Bunyan had sorrow. They put him and took him and put him in jail for his stand for God. And you know what that old fellow done? He preached anyway, and he wrote Pilgrim's Progress, one of the greatest pieces of literature in the history of the church. And John Bunyan did that while he was suffering worse than he ever had in his life. I remember one time I was going through a hard time, and I talked to my pastor, Preacher Hall Hollifield. He used to be my pastor at Nebo. And I said, Preacher, I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, I don't know what's up, which way's up or down right now. And I told him, I said, I used to think that I had things pretty well figured out and I knew what was what. But I said, now I don't know, I don't even know what's right and what ain't no more. And he said, Danny, you're in better shape for God to use you now than you was then. And I didn't understand that and I didn't believe it then, but I do now. Can I just tell you something this morning, people? Sometimes when you feel like you're the weakest, and sometimes when you feel like, God, I'm no good, and God, I'm no value to the kingdom of God, God has you in that place so He can use you and He'll get the glory. When you're weak, thank God He's strong. See, if everything's right in your life and you have no problems and no burdens and all that, let me tell you something. God can't use you. You know why? Because you're full of yourself. God has to let you fall. God has to let you be disappointed. God has to let you come down a notch or two so He can show you that it's Him that's using you and not just you yourself. When you have sorrow, look who's at your graveside. Number four, when we're stranded, look who's on our island. They took John, we call him John the Revelator, not John the Baptist, it's the Apostle John. And did you know what they done? They killed every one of them apostles they could. And they said, history says, Bible don't say this, history said that they tried to boil John in oil and it wouldn't kill him. And buddy, they said, the only way we can get rid of this guy is take him over there and banish him on an island somewhere. And they took John over there on this island, and they called Patmos. And they dumped him, and they said, all right, buddy, now, where's your God? Now, what's that Jesus going to do for you? You have no food, you have no home. We're going to leave you here to die, or the wild beast will get you and you'll be dead here in a few days. Or you'll starve to death or you'll burn up or whatever, and we're going to leave you here all by yourself, stranded. And the boat left, and there sat John, man, on an island. Him the only one there. Nobody to fellowship with. No restaurants to go eat at. No motel to check in. No car to drive. No telephone. No car. No way to talk to anybody. And about that time, the sky opened up. And he said, hey! And he said, John, look up here. And John said, look who's here. And the Lord knew it was down there on that island. The Lord knew it was all alone. The Lord knew he had nobody to turn to. Boy, isn't that good news for you this morning, that you feel like you're all alone? Nobody understands what you're going through. Nobody understands your burdens. Nobody understands your problems. Nobody you have to talk to. And all of a sudden you look up and there's the Lord. And he said, I am Jesus. I have the keys of death and hell. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I'm right here. And he wrote the book of Revelation. Amen. When we're stranded, look who's on our island. Number five, when we come to church on Sunday, look who's in the church house. You know what he promised us? He promised us that where two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst of them. He didn't say, all right, you people, I'm going to look at you, and if you've done good enough this week, I might come in there. He said, if we'll gather together in His name, He'll be here. You know what that means? We're gathering in His name this morning. He's here this morning. The Lord, look who's here, folks. Look who's here. Have you ever looked around and say, mercy, the roof's going to fall in. Look who come to church this morning. And that might be a surprise, but I'll tell you this morning, He's here. The Lord's here. When we meet here, He's here. Bible said over there in Revelation 1:13 that it'll have seven golden candlesticks. And candlesticks represent the churches, and the Lord walks in the midst of those candlesticks. And that's what He's doing here this morning. There's not a doubt in my mind that the Lord Jesus Jesus Christ is here today. He walks in the midst of His church. When we come to church on Sunday, people say, boy, I hope the Lord's here tonight. You don't have to hope that. He's here. He promised He'd be here. If you can't feel Him, it's because of something wrong in your mind or in your heart. But He's here today. He's here as He promised. Number six. When we are filled with self-will, look who's standing on our shore. You see, Peter, in that story that I read to you a minute ago, Peter said, I go a-fishing. He said, I go a-fishing. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do my way. Now, the truth is, every Christian, you come to some point in your life where you just get aggravated and you say, I'm just going to do what I want to do for a change. Isn't that right? Don't you do that? Sure you do. You may not say it, but you come to that point where you do it. And you think, foot, I've tried to obey the Lord and tried to do everything the church wants me to do, and it ain't done me a bit of good. I'm just going to do what I want to do for a while. That's what Peter did. He got hurt. He got discouraged. He got his feelings hurt. He got disillusioned. He thought Jesus should have done something. Jesus didn't do it. Kind of lost his confidence in Him a little bit. I don't know what he was thinking. But he said, I just don't know if I can handle this. I'm just going to go fishing, forget the whole thing. I ain't coming back Sunday night. I ain't coming Wednesday night. That church is... Jesus told me He's going to be our Savior. Now they killed Him and... I don't know about this. I've had it. I'm just going to go fishing for a while. And he's out there fishing, doing his own thing, right back to his old ways, right back to his old life. And they didn't catch nothing, and he couldn't do anything. And boy, I'm going to tell you what, and I looked over there and somebody said, look who's here. I mean, right when they didn't even want to be around Jesus, there he showed up anyway. And he had a little fire going. Notice three or four things about that story. Number one, Jesus has a place for you to get warm if you're cold this morning. He has a place for you to make provisions for you to feed on. And Jesus has given you a privilege to encourage you when He says, come and dine. If you're out there doing your own thing this morning, are you already tired of it? You ain't, you will be soon. I want you to know, all you got to do is look and see who's here. He'll say, come on back to me. I've got something for you. I've got some good food you can eat. I've got a nice warm place for you to wrap up in. There's some of you here this morning like that. You was probably out partying last night. There's probably somebody in here this morning got out and got drunk Friday night. I don't know that, but I wouldn't doubt it a bit. You know, there's a lot of people here. You know what? You're just like Peter out there trying to find happiness on your own. Can I tell you this morning, the Lord's here and He's standing here saying, I got something, I'll warm you up. I got some good food for you. He's willing to take you back. You need to get down here and rededicate your life and get right with God and quit that sin and turn from it and get it right with God. Look who's here when you're full of self-will. Then number seven, this will be last this morning. When we need salvation, look who's sitting on our well. Hadn't He got a way of just showing up at the right time? Look who's in our garden when we've sinned. Look who's in our furnace when we're suffering. Look who's in our grave when we have sorrow. Hallelujah. Look who's on our island when we're stranded, people. Hey, can I just stop and give a commercial here this morning? I've been saying a long time now, well, I'll be pastoring 21 years next Sunday. He's the best friend I've ever had. The Lord's never failed me one time. I've failed Him a million times, but He's always been there for me. I want to tell you what, by the grace of God, we'll go through. By the grace of God, He'll see us through. It don't matter what the devil or the world says about it. You know why? Look who's here. Look who's here. Man, sometimes I get down and I think God ain't ever going to have nothing to do with me again. And about that time He shows up and puts His hand on me. Says, Danny, I love you. I say, I love you too, Lord. I appreciate you being here. Thank God. Look who's here. When you need salvation, look who's sitting on your well. You know what I'm talking about. John chapter 4. Call her the woman at the well. She needed salvation. She had had five husbands and shacking up with somebody at that time. And that woman came down there to draw water and she said, look who's here. He's sitting there waiting on her. He's waiting on you this morning. He's sitting there waiting on her. He's waiting on you just to come and drink of the water of life. Some of you here this morning, if you're not saved, the Lord's waiting on you to come. This woman, her life had been a wreck. You know, she's one of these women that thought she could find happiness in all the wrong places. And she just went from one, as they quote, relationship to another, one marriage to another. But deep down inside, she never had real peace. And the Lord said, hey, I'm here. I've come to help you today. I'm what you're looking for. I'm the answer to your problems. And that woman, no doubt, had been treated bad by those men. Lied to. Maybe they run around on her. Maybe they beat her. I don't know. Maybe they come home drunk. Maybe like a lot of women have gone through today. And she had been through a terrible, terrible, terrible time. And she had this attitude of, good night, I don't care if I ever sleep. She was getting hard. She was getting mean. She was trying to harden herself just to make it through life because of all the bad breaks that she had had. But look who's sitting on the well that day when she come. Amen. He wasn't one of these guys that said, I'm too good to talk to her. She's been married five times and checking up. How, that trash. I want her to, no sir, that ain't Jesus. That ain't Jesus. He went there and sat down and he talked to that woman. He didn't look down his nose at her like he was better than she was. And he was the Son of God, people. He is spotless and pure. Sat down and talked to that woman. Oh, I'm glad. When you need salvation, look who's sitting on the well waiting on you this morning. Tell you what happened up there the other day. I got a blessing. Thursday night, first night I preached. I preached on the cross, and how Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And during the invitation, there's a bunch of people come. They couldn't even get near the altar. They were kneeling in the aisles. There's probably 600-700 there Thursday night, about 800 there Friday night. Big youth meeting. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. And I preached, and this girl came to the altar, and they brought her down there, and she, you could tell by looking at her, she'd, you know, been in a rough life. 17 years old. Her name is Julie. I want you to pray for her. And they prayed with her, and people started hugging and everything. Pastor come up and told me, he said, preacher, can I tell you the story of that girl? And I said, sure. He said, that girl, I got her out of a drug rehab to bring her to this service tonight. She's supposed to be in there for 3 weeks. Her mom just committed suicide. Her dad's in prison. She's living in a house where there's nothing but wickedness and drugs. I mean, just the most horrible story you could ever imagine. Fighting. She took 100 pills and tried to kill herself. 17 years old. He said, I just knew if I could get her here to this meeting, God might do something for her. I didn't know she was there. I preached hard and I told how the Lord died for every sin, you know, and all, you know how I preach on the cross. The Lord was sitting on that well that night. They brought that girl to the Lord. Folks, He loves you this morning. He's what you need. He's what you're looking for. You're never going to be happy out there hunting something in the world to satisfy you. They brought that girl to the altar. Let me tell you, the preacher called the rehab center and said, I'd like to get that girl and take her to a youth rally over in Rochester, New York. And they never returned his call, never returned his call. He said, I'm going to try. He said, I'm not giving up. And the preacher called back, and they said, oh, you're that preacher that's going to take Julie to that youth meeting? He couldn't believe it. He could not believe they approved it. Usually they won't do things like that. They won't just turn them out and let them go. And they let her come, and she come and got saved. Amen. Got saved. She's going to heaven now and not hell. Amen. 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 And there's a bunch more got saved. But that stuck out in my mind, and I told them for the whole congregation. I said, Julie, it's worth my trip coming to New York to see you get saved. Woo! Glory to God, brother. Say, Jesus was on her well. And she needed salvation. He's on yours this morning. He's on yours. One night I come to the Lord as an 18-year-old boy. And Jesus was sitting on the well. He's right here this morning waiting on you. He's just waiting on you. He's just waiting on you. You say, oh, Brother Danny, I just feel like I'm all alone. Yeah, I know. Look who's here, though. Look who's here. He's willing to help you this morning. And He's willing to take that burden that you're carrying. You just quit trying to figure everything out. Quit worrying so much. Quit thinking it's your job to straighten out the whole world. And just start trusting Him and living for Him. And He'll bless you. Look who's here. Let's stand with our heads bowed, please. Now, I tell you what I'd like to do this morning. Look who's here. I tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to ask you a question. I'd like to ask you a question this morning, friend. How's things between you and God? There's a lot of people already coming to this altar. God wants to do a work here this morning. You say, Brother Danny, seems like I'm going crazy. Well, look who's here. Look who's here. You say, Preacher, I've got burdens, so I can't hardly carry. Look who's here. He's here to help you this morning. You're never going to make it by yourself. Ma'am, why don't you come? Why don't you come right now? Just slip out of your seat. Come right now. Come on. Look who's here. Jesus is here to help you. He's here to help you. Jesus is here to help you, sir. Young lady, teenager, look who's here. Right when you think He's never going to fool with you again, there He'll be, right beside you. Would you let Him fix? How about it, young people? Boy, this is a good way to get ready for our revival. Just say, hey, look who's here. He's here. He's here today. Hallelujah. He's here. He's my best friend. He's your best friend. He died on the cross for you. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. Heavenly Father, do what ought to be done in our hearts. Move upon us, we pray. Help these that need to come so bad. Save that one which is lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's